This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. Although I'm driving to pick up the boy is what I'm really doing. And so I gotta go get him and we will finish up whenever he comes out. So, it's been a good week. Got a few things accomplished. Got, you know, a little here and there. Always dealing with some surprises. But that's okay. We got done what needed to get done. And I'm actually leaving before one issue is fully resolved. But I think we know what's going on. And the guy who's working on it knows what to do. And so we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. As far as the writing goes, I had a really interesting thing happen this week. I think I mentioned last week that I've been working on book 23, and I've just kind of, you know, been going along, and the problem is I know I've got more time. I know I'm going to have more time in July and August because, you know, I will either be working half-time or fully retired. Which, that's a continuing story, and maybe at some point. I can't remember if I've talked about that or not. I don't think I have. I don't think I've talked about that. But we'll see. We'll see. Should have more information on that on Monday. Anyways, so even if I go to halftime, I mean, I'm going to have more time in July and August, no matter what. And see, I know that. And there's something that was going on in the back of my brain, and it was just like, well, you've got time. I'm like, no, I want to stay on schedule. And so I had just kind of piddled. I was just piddling last couple of weeks. But what was really interesting was that the time that I was piddling, I was writing enough that I had like 23,000 words on week two, which is plenty. And now I'm into like week three of the writing sprint. And this is where, you know, I got to get my butt in gear and get this going. And maybe I'm far enough along now that it's getting easier to write, or maybe I'm into a passage that I really like or something, but something just kicked over in me this week, and it was just like, let's do the thing. And so I'm actually ahead. I'm ahead of where I need to be. And so everything's good. And I wrote some this morning, so I got farther ahead, and then I'll go pick up the boy and, you know, I'll write some more and I'll get a little farther ahead and we'll go from there. So I think we're doing good. And I just heard from the guy. Okay. That's ready to get back on. Apparently all I need to do is clean up the batch data details for it. That's in my backup table. I can get this code. Oh, okay. Yay. You got it done. Yay! Okay. So it looks like he got that under control. So we're good. We got those batches done. We were doing a transfer from our payment processing system that collects all the credit cards and all that kind of stuff into our internal line of business systems. And apparently, right in the middle of that transfer, we had a network glitch. Which doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. And it just, you know, blew some stuff out. And so we were halfway in the middle of stuff. And anyways, the guy who's in charge of that got it figured out. I helped a little. Ta-da. Okay, so anyways, so that's all good. But yeah, so writing this week just accelerated all of a sudden. I mean, it's just, I'm feeling completely different about the book at this point. It's like, yep, let's go. I mean, so I don't know quite what that was all about, but, you know, it, 9. Oh, whoa, whoa, hang on. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What is going on here? I know. It's been a minute or two. I get it. What? Yeah, I'll have to. Because I'm driving at the moment, so we'll have to get back with that later. So, anyways, maybe that wasn't for me. So, anyways, so that's good. So I think I kind of know what the general arc of this book is. I know what I want to accomplish in this book. I know what it's going to kind of wrap up, details that it's going to wrap up. I don't know exactly where we're going to end up and what the side plots are yet, but we'll get there. We'll just write it and then just magic will happen, because magic has already happened 22 books. Which is crazy. That's crazy. I don't know what in the world. It's just crazy. So we'll get that done, though. So it's going along. Costumes are going fine. So I basically have the classic movie costume under control. I bought a deluxe Jim Carrey The Mask costume, which is a yellow zoot suit. It's kind of baggy, but it's fine. And I made a hat for it because the hat was way too small for me. So I just made my own hat, and it's okay, but it's fine. What I don't have right now is the bit. And I didn't think I'd need a bit, but I'm getting these little whispers that there is a bit for this. And not only is there a bit, the bit is going to come to me, and it's not here yet. So I'm just kind of waiting to see what the bit is going to be. I'm kind of moving forward with, potentially the next costume that I'm going to create, which is for OOTD Day. Which is outfit of the day, and OOTD stands for outfit of the day. And apparently it's something that TikTok influencers do. This is the outfit of the day. Well, with influencers doing that, then, and I just slowed down real hard and my little suitcase fell on the floor, but it's fine. It's not gonna hurt anything. So, and apparently somebody started OOT Day. T Day is where it's a day when you wear some kind of fashionable costume. And I had this idea, I may have mentioned it before, that there is inflatable fashion. and there's all kinds of different versions of it. But there's some designer that actually dresses women in these really gorgeous multicolored dresses, but then they have the pool toys, as in the swimming pool toys, all pasted onto it as well. Like the flotation devices and things you play with in the pool. So I went out to Amazon and I found a bunch of pool toys, and I ordered myself a bunch of different bodysuits. Although, as it turns out, I don't think any of those bodysuits are necessarily going to go that well with the pool toys that I had. They just happened to be running a special on AliExpress, and they had everything discounted to like $10 or $15 for bodysuits. And I just got some wild and crazy ones and thought I'd be okay. And I don't know, maybe there's one. There's one that is set up on Starry Night by Van Gogh. So that would be kind of artistic to begin with. And then I could put pool toys on it. Pool inflatable toys on it. So that might be fun. So I'm going to look into that. I've got to order the inflatable toys and then get the suits in. They're all supposed to be in within the next day or two. And get all them and just kind of try combinations and see what things look like. So it's just going to be one of those silly costumes that hopefully just makes people smile. That's it. But there are some kind of wild and crazy pool toys. One of them is, it's like a frog with a big, huge open mouth on it. And, you know, eyeballs and that kind of thing. And I think what I'm going to do is get that one and then cut a hole in the base. Because you're supposed to put it in the pool and then put, like, your baby inside there. And just let it let baby float along with you, you know. And then there's another one that is kind of a Ursula octopusy thing that it's a flotation ring and you wear it around your waist and it's got all these, you know, arms that come off it. And, you know, there's just a bunch of those types of things. So I'm just going to order a bunch of them and I'll design something artistic. It will be fine. Anyways, so yeah, work is good. Writing's good. Costumes are good. My beloved has been in Iowa. I think it's Iowa. It's wherever our friend's wife's mother, dad just died. My beloved went up for another funeral up there. She was up when the mom died. She was up for the funeral and played. And the dad, when he was coming towards the end, he said, I'd really love Lynette to play at my funeral. And so Lynette wasn't planning on going up to this one, but very kindly the family said, look, we'll pay for your ticket up here. And so she was like, okay, I'm coming. So she's been up there. I'm sure everything went spectacularly well because Lynette is very, very good when it comes to that stuff. And so she's coming back in tomorrow. It was kind of exciting on Tuesday because her plane left at like 5:30 in the morning, I think it was. And of course that means, you know, you gotta be there an hour early. And so that's 4:30. That's really early for my beloved. But she did really well. She had everything packed and ready to go. And I got up at 3:15 and puttered around and got her stuff loaded into the car. And we took off about 3:45 and had her to the airport at 4:15. And everything was great. She's coming back in tomorrow afternoon. I'm going to pick her up. I think the most suffering was the dog. We have a little dog named Bella, and I just refer to Bella as the dog because Bella, it just is not that smart. I've probably mentioned Bella before, or the dog. And I mean, that poor dog has just been sulking the whole time Ned's been gone. It's just, the dog is depressed. Thankfully, Amber, who lives with us, likes looking after the dog, and the dog likes Amber, and so Amber's kind of taken over for letting the dog stay down in her room and, you know, at least be less depressed. But yesterday, the dog thought she heard Lynette coming back home, and so she scampered upstairs because she was all excited, and then it was just like me, which was a grave disappointment. And the dog, like, just kind of crawled under our bed in the bedroom. And she just crawled in far enough just to cover her head. And so she still got her back end sticking out from underneath the bed because the dog is not that smart. Oh, man. Yeah. So Amber came up, got the dog. Because normally when Amber is around, she can just say, hi, Belly. And the dog will just, you know, run for her. But the dog is depressed. So she kept calling her, hi, Belly, come on. And the dog just sits with its head stuck under the bed. So she carried her downstairs and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, and then she was going to do some running around to thrift stores and turning some things in. So she took Bella with her. And so that's all good. So, you know, life goes on. That's all fine. So I don't know how much time I'm actually going to have to talk here. We may, after I get Aiden in the car, we might talk a little more. But I had a conversation, when was it, last week with a friend. We were doing a team meeting and something was running. And so we were all, you know, gabbing while we were waiting for a process to finish. And so, yeah, we got talking about health and got talking about this and got talking about carnivore and got talking about diet and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I mentioned that, yeah, ever since I've been on carnivore, my, you know, total cholesterol has gone up, obviously, because you're eating a lot of saturated fats, but dietary cholesterol does not affect your cholesterol levels. It just doesn't. That's been proven now. And so he was saying, well, you're gonna go, gotta watch that cholesterol level. And I said, you know, I said, I don't think that's really true anymore. So we got to talking and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, then, I don't know if the phone listens to you or just because I clicked on something because I was interested in confirming what I was saying that was correct, but suffice it to say, I've been getting a lot of recommendations from the YouTubes about cholesterol and that kind of stuff, and I was just listening to this one podcast, and I thought that I had written down here which one it is, but apparently not. And, you know, I thought that there was some fairly good evidence and there was nothing to say in the contrary that high LDLs are bad. But the farther you get into all of this stuff and the farther you get into, I'm going to go ahead and roll down the windows just a little bit for when Aiden gets here. It's a beautiful day. Apparently, it's going to get cooler. Oh, well, there's Aiden. Here, so I gotta finish this up.
999 cows.
Yes, many cows. Many, many cows. Okay, where is the thing? Here's the thing. We got the thing, and now we need to plug this. I tell you what, it's gonna be a while. Let's not plug that in yet. I'll finish up the podcast and then we'll be good. We're getting a lot of wind across this. I'm going to roll up the windows a little bit. See if we can kill that wind a little bit. Like there. Yeah. Let's do this. Okay. Now then. So I have to finish up the podcast here real quick and then we'll talk. But you can talk anytime you want to. Okay. So cholesterol. What I didn't realize is there have actually been.
4 equals 16?
Yes. Yes. Except soft voice for me. Okay. Soft voice. Soft voice. Because I need to just finish this up. What I didn't realize is there had been studies that showed exactly the opposite of LDL being bad for you. So there was, and these are not new studies. These studies have existed and people have just ignored them because it's easier to just say, oh, you're above this number, therefore you should take a statin.
What's I mean,
that's like the whole thing. So there's something called the Framingham study. And if you break down the relationships in that study, you end up, when you sort of tranche people into three different things, I think this was the study, that the more cholesterol you had, the relative risk of developing a heart attack goes down. And there's a direct correlation on it, of LDL specifically. And so you're like, all right. And there's other studies like that as well. So what it comes down to is when they do more look at it, if included in the study is insulin resistance, and that means that you have been eating too much sugar and too many carbs and those things, and your body has actually developed a hyperinsulin response to that, to where it's trying not to produce very much insulin, and so you get this resistance, and you can't get the insulin absorbed back in. That seems to be where the problem is. And when they look at studies by insulin, for insulin sensitivity, we know that the single greatest risk factor for determining whether your LDL is going to be connected with heart disease is your insulin sensitivity. But most people don't understand that. So when your family member had her cholesterol checked, I'm willing to bet a very delicious... I'm willing to bet they did not check a fasting insulin level. So they probably did zero metrics to look at her fasting insulin and her metabolic health. And so it's really this number of this LDL is really connected to other factors like your triglyceride and your whatever that is, H1CA, whatever. And so if you don't look at those things, you're getting a skewed picture of what's going on with LDLs. Now, the good thing is when I had my blood work done, we're going to go home as soon as the cars start moving, buddy. So, you know, one of the things is I had my blood tested a year and a half ago or so. And, you know, my cholesterol was, okay, this is summer school. We have to be careful of that. Here, you can look at these. You want to look at those? Yay! Okay. So when I had my blood work done, it freaked out the testing people because my LDL was like 180 or something like that, but my HDL was over 70. So my total cholesterol was like 250, but my triglycerides were low. And my H1C, whatever, that's supposed to show whether you're insulin resistant or not, was in the right range. So, I mean, there were a lot of things about my readings that were perfectly fine. And the only thing that was bad, according to, you know, the rules, was the fact that my LDL was 180 as opposed to being under 100. But that's because I eat a lot. Eat a lot of fats. And what they think now is they've got this lean mass hyper responders, they're called lean body mass hyper responders, that for people who are in generally good health with their metabolism, with their insulin, with their triglycerides, all that stuff, that when you go on a carnivore diet, in fact, yes, your LDL is going to go up, and it's just fine. Now, I was talking to my buddy, because my policy on a lot of these things is that when I start something new and, you know, there's all, especially if it's something that's quote unquote controversial, okay? Well, there's all these things that you could say about it and you're going to get all these people arguing back and forth. But one of the things I like to do is I like to go and find out, okay, who are the people who have been on this? And how long have they been on it? And have they been on it for multiple years? And what are they saying about what it did to itself? So, I mean, I went and I found influencers and podcasters who had been on carnivore diet for 5 years and for 7 years and 10 years and 15 years. And medical doctors who had had all their blood tests done, and what did they say about their blood tests, and you know, what had been the long-term effects of all this kind of stuff. And I did all that research on YouTube and just sort of ignored what all the common sense, you know, all the, what do they call that, standard of care in medicine was, because I knew that the standard of care in medicine really was designed to do one thing, and that's prescribe more statins. And since that's what it was designed to do, y'all done looking at it? There we go. Okay, we're going to go here in just a few minutes, buddy. And I'm going to run around. We're going to get buckled up, and then I'm going
to
get buckled up.
Let's go to the restaurant.
That's tomorrow we're going to go to the restaurant. So last week I took him to Cracker Barrel with me, and we did fine. He had my pancakes. Okay, kids are coming. So that's that. Interesting stuff. So do your own research. I'm just saying, do your own research. Medical standards of care really are designed just to sell drugs. So have a good weekend. This is Phil Ferrand. I haven't made it home yet, but we're working on it.